जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद कृपासादि भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत शामनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
First of all, I am very grateful to be here with you. I see many wonderful friends from the Alachua community, many senior Vaishnavas, and it's my greatest honor to serve today by speaking a few words. I wasn't given a topic, so I thought, let me speak on something that I am currently working on. And for those of us here who aren't aware of the kind of work I do, I am a professor and I teach the ideas of our Shastras in a way that works for people who have no idea what Shastra is. Right? That's my main goal. And so, Ram Govinda Prabhu, could we have the... So I'm reading a section of the Srimad Bhagavat, 11th canto, chapter 7, 8, and 9. How many of you have heard of the word Avadhut? Avadhut. The word Avadhut in English approximately means free soul. One who is free. Okay? And Sri Krishna told the story of the Avadhut to his cousin and best friend Uddhava. And the story goes as follows. Once upon a time, there was a king called Yadu. How many of you have heard of the word Yadava? In India, if you go, when we were children, there was a chief minister of Bihar called Lallu Prasad Yadav. right? A very funny politician. You know that last name Yadav in India today, trace their lineage back to Yadu. So Krishna was born in the Yadava dynasty. That's why we sing Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. So Maharaj Yadu was a great emperor who once met what everybody else thought was a crazy man. Now tell me one thing, if you had the opportunity to become the president of the United States of America, would you be excited about it? Yeah? No? Somebody said no. It's the hardest job on the planet, isn't it? If we were born maybe 800, 900 years back and we got an opportunity to be an emperor or a queen, would you sign up? You get to live in the royal palace, you get to eat whatever you want. Whenever you want, you have people serving you, you have people making your bed. You don't have to do the daily grind Monday through Friday. Right? Everything is easy because you belong to the royal family. Except those who are in the royal family suffer from fear. There is something called Raj Bhay, royal fear, the fear that kings suffer from. You know, everything about kings are very big. So kings suffer from royal fear. What is this royal fear? At any given moment, my enemy may attack and they will kill my children, they will kill my wife, they will burn my palace down, they will take away everything, and everything that I have built up and everything I am maintaining will be gone in 1 second. That's what kings are afraid of. And this king met this man who was walking around so free and happy. He wondered, what's wrong with this guy? I don't see human beings like this. So he decided to ask, how are you like this? How are you so happy and free? And this crazy man said, I have learned this from 24 gurus, 24 teachers. Who are these teachers? Oh, they are all around me. You know, it's free. It's right there. They are talking to you. It's just that you don't listen to what they are saying. Oh, tell me more about it. And then the man says, King, O King, I have taken shelter of 24 gurus who are the following. Ready? I'll take a memory test after this passage, okay? So I want you to listen very carefully. Earth. Remember this one. Earth. Air. Okay, good. Keep going. Sky. Water. Fire. Moon. Sun. Pigeons. Somebody found that funny. Pigeons. And Python. The Python. You know, you see Anaconda? You know that movie? You know, it's a big snake. Python. The sea, the moth, honeybee, elephant, and honey thief. The deer, the fish, a prostitute called Pingala, the Kurara bird, and the child, a young girl, an arrow maker, a serpent, spider, and a wasp. My dear king, by studying their activities, I have learned the science of the self. Okay, now how many of you can tell me what those 24 gurus were? Let's give it a try. Earth? Not either, but sky. Pigeon, somebody said pigeon. Sun and moon. Python. Pingala. Child. Moth. Young girl. Spider? Who forgot spider? Wasp? The bees? Arrow maker? The honey thief. Who remembers the Kurara bird? It's called, that bird is extinct, but it's called something like a raven, like a crow. Okay? And the time in which I've been teaching these, you know, my audience is very different. I don't find myself in a Sunday feast very often. I speak to business leaders, you know, career professionals, students at the university. And the way I present the 24 gurus of the Avadhuta Brahman is by saying, here are 24 laws of freedom. 24 laws of freedom. Now think about it. Each one of us in this room, whether we are students, whether we are homemakers, whether we are business owners, small or big, whether we are retired, whether we are still looking to figure out what we want to do in life, and that's totally okay. We are all struggling hard for freedom. Think about it. If you have a good career and you earn a lot of money, you'll be able to take that nice vacation. You'll experience little freedom. If you work very hard through your life and you have good retirement savings, you'll be able to experience freedom. If you go to college, you know why kids go to college? They go to get a degree. But I have been a college professor for many, many years. This is their first taste of freedom. And when they become seniors at age 21, they enter usually at 18. When they become seniors at 21, you know what college kids do? They drink till they pass out. Why? Because they are free. Right? I have seen, you know, ambulances and police cars are so common on college campuses, especially on a Friday and a Saturday night. Why? Because kids are trying to be free. Okay? And then there is the hard side of freedom. My grandfather was an activist for the freedom movement of India. And at one point, he was put on a most wanted list. And so he had to run away and hide. So he lost his freedom. But why was he fighting? Why did he lose his freedom? Because he was fighting for freedom. And if you think about it, so many young men and women of this country sign up and go to another foreign country to fight. Why? To protect our freedoms. The national anthem of this country says, we are the home of the and the land of the brave. You see how important freedom is? Freedom is not free. And the thing is, the moment you get it, it's so precious and it's so vulnerable, you can lose it very, very, very easily. How many of us as kids lost our freedom when we did something so stupid we were grounded? You know, in second grade, I was so bored out of my mind. I didn't have anything to do in the afternoon, and I had just learned how to light a matchstick. 8-year-old with a matchstick, with mom sleeping at home, and nobody supervising, is a bad, bad idea. And so I had all the freedom, so I took the matchbox, lit the matchstick, and set the couch on fire. And when the couch started burning, I suddenly realized that I had misused my freedom somewhere, and I didn't know what to do. So I started calling for my mom. And when you are in trouble, you never say what you've done before. You wait till the other person experiences the damage for themselves. And then they're on your side, right? Mom, something bad's happening here. And the couch, by the way, is getting engulfed by the flames. And with my 8-year-old brain, what I tried to do is I took the newspaper from that morning and tried to put it on the flame to shut it down. When you put a newspaper on a burning couch to shut down the flame, it works marvelously. You know? And so now the couch and the newspaper was on fire. Right? Thankfully, what was on fire was the sheet on the couch. So my mother ran, pulled the sheet out, and the couch itself was not on fire. The sheet was damaged. Right? And I was grounded. And I couldn't touch matchsticks for the next few years. I'm not allowed to do anything to do with matchsticks. I lost my freedom. Right? And then, if you think about it, each one of us in this world can do things that might lead us to lose our freedoms. You speak the things you are not supposed to speak and the government hears you, you're going to lose your freedom. You use technology in a bad way, Google is going to ban you. You're going to lose your freedoms. So freedom doesn't come easy. It doesn't stay easy. And there are things, there are certain laws that operate when it comes to freedom, right? And Sri Krishna teaches these laws through the story of the Avadhut Brahmana, who says, here is what I learned from nature, and this is why I am free. Okay? Could we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. So the first guru I have in my life is Mother Earth. And I want to pause here, and I want our time together here to be reflective and interactive. Okay? So I want to hear from you what Mother Earth teaches you. What do you learn from Mother Earth?
Tolerance.
Anybody else? Any other point? Was there a hand up? Okay. Adaptability.
Like a mother.
Generosity. What up?
Giving.
Hmm? Yes?
Patience.
Patience and at the back?
Renewal.
You see, just by thinking about what the earth does for us, we came up with so many ways the earth is actually teaching us something. Right? It's simple. Right? We walk on the earth, we literally trample the earth all the time. We plow the earth. When we want to build buildings, we dig the earth up. When we want oil, we keep drilling and drilling and drilling. And in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada points out, Nirvishesha Shunyavada Paschatya Desha Tarine. Nirvishesh means this is without quality, useless. And Shunyavada means this is pointless. So Nirvishesh and Shunyavada means to think this world, the reality, is useless and pointless. Right? And Krishna consciousness is right opposite of that philosophy. And if you think Mother Earth, despite what we do to her, she's constantly giving. Constantly giving. And the Bhagavata points out that a sober person, even when harassed by other living beings, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God, and thus he should never be distracted from progress on his own path. This rule I have learned from Earth. How many of us deal with difficult people? One time or another. Do you realize the Earth is dealing with difficult people? And how does the Earth treat us as she is dealing with difficult people? By forgiving. By giving more. Right? And when you get too difficult, it just shakes up a little bit. Ready? And we will not complete all 24 gurus in a short span today. It's impossible, but we'll go through the first few. Go to the next one, please. Thank you. What does air teach us? Let's hear some responses. Air. Let's take a deep breath. It's purifying. Huh? It's calm. Tranquility. Did you notice what you just did? Let's take another deep breath. You took in the oxygen that was produced by those trees. And you oxygenated your blood and your brain. And you, the stuff that you don't need in your body, you just threw it out. Right? And the air is the air. You don't even notice. The air remain untouched despite what you are doing. How many of us, while dealing with difficult people, wish we were like air? You see, that's where freedom comes from. If the person who's disturbing you does not get the response that he or she expects, are they successful? Somebody's trying to test your temper and you don't get angry. Who won? Right? You're free. Radhanath Maharaj makes a point very often. He says, if somebody puts hot coals in your hand for whatever reason, and you think, this person was so nasty with me, I'm going to put this back on in this person's hands. And you keep holding on to those hot coals, planning revenge in your head. Whose hands are burning? Your hands are burning. When you are dealing with difficult people, if you hold on to the trash that they have put on your mind, whose mind is smelling? And so the second teaching is, let's be like air. Air carries fragrance. Air carries stench. But the air remains untouched. That's why the air is free. Do you see what I'm saying here? Right?
The air also destroys.
Like cyclones. That's, yes. That's when air gets angry. But we are coming to fire. A saintly person should learn from the mountain to devote all efforts to the service of others and make the welfare of others the sole reason for their existence. This is still earth, right? It says, even a transcendentalist is surrounded by innumerable material objects which possesses good or bad qualities. However, one who has transcended material good and evil should not become entangled even when in contact with material objects. Rather, he should act like the wind. Am I clear so far? Okay. Although a self-realized soul may live in various material bodies while in this world, experiencing their various qualities and functions, he is never entangled, just as the wind which carries various aromas does not actually mix with them. Clear so far? Okay, the next one. What does space teach you? Any responses? Space. Let's look around you. Look at the night sky. Look at the sky outside the doors. What is space teaching you? Any responses? Space.
Has room for everything.
We are very, very small. Right? What else does space teach us? It doesn't mix with anything. It cannot be divided by anything. You make a building, it gives space. A few years later, you take the building down, the space is still there. It doesn't get affected by change. Right? So those who have made peace with the fact that the only thing constant in this world is change, are free. You see? The only thing that is constant in this world is change. If you start a business, it'll have a business cycle. Everything has a shelf life. You know what shelf life is? Everything. How many of us have written something down, saved that piece of paper, and after a few years, when we look back, see, oh, I wrote this crap? How many of us have had that experience? I wrote that crap? How many of us have made promises to people when we are extremely happy and then wondered, oh, what did I sign up for? Or made comments when we are in extreme duress and then gone on to regret later? You see, the emotions we experience have a shelf life. And after that shelf life is over, it goes away. Our ideas have a shelf life. Our relations have a shelf life. Our moods have a shelf life. And our bodies have a shelf life. But one who has made peace with the fact that things will have a shelf life, there is nothing you can do about it. Be like space, which creates the space for things to exist for some time, and when they go away, they go away. When that mentality is cultivated, then one is free. Right? The last one for tonight. Water. Okay, that's a simple one. What does water teach us? What does water teach you?
Flexibility.
Cleanliness. Conformity. How many of us have felt so good getting our first gulp of water when we were parched on a hot Florida day? So what is water doing there?
Satisfying
your
thirst.
Satisfying
your thirst.
So we have some qualities of water that's so apparent, right? You pour water in a round bowl, water will become round. You put water in a long test tube, water will become long. Wherever you put water, water will adapt to the situation. You know, that's what water teaches us, to adapt. If you can adapt, you're free. What else is water teaching us? It has the power to quench somebody's thirst. Right? And in that way, on a spiritual level, if we are able to present to the person sitting in front of us the message that would quench their existential thirst, then the water becomes our guru. And when, that way, we are not only freeing that person, we are also freeing ourselves. Because real freedom, and I'll finish with a story, is not from this world, if you think about it. Srila Prabhupada explains that freedom is the pivot of bhakti. You know what pivot is? The central point around which a wheel turns. If you don't have freedom, whatever it is you're doing, it's not really bhakti. Right? Freedom has to be the pivot of bhakti. And what Sri Krishna teaches is how to be ultimately free. Sri Krishna is eternally free. He's freeing Uddhava, by speaking these words. And he's saying that you want to be free, then be like the sun. You want to be free, be like earth, be like wind, be like water, be like space. Learn something from these until you come to the end of learning that lesson, you will be bound. Right? So unless you have these qualities, these particular kind of realizations that grow within you, the freedom you experience will not be permanent. When Srila Prabhupada was very young, he was an activist, a very active member of Mahatma Gandhi's movement. And he went to his teacher, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and said, India needs to be free. Who will listen to your pravachans if the country is under British subjugation? We are not free. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a great avadhut himself. He said, you think you will be free by replacing, and I'll use two Hindi words and I'll translate for you, replacing Gore Angrez with Kale Angrez. Gore Angrez means white British. And Kale Angrez means brown British. Because once these white British people leave India, you will have another class of people who will take their seats and they will exploit India in the exact same way. What you will have is not freedom. Because that's not how you get freedom. This is not the path to freedom. The path to freedom is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroriva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That state of mind is basically what Sri Krishna is teaching here through the 24 gurus. The avadhut is in that state of mind. Somebody throws a pile of shit at that person. Sorry, pardon my bad word. He's like, sure, thank you. He's not affected. Somebody puts a garland, he's not affected, thank you. Somebody creates a royal meal, says thank you, you're not affected. Next day, you're starving, no problem. An avadhuta, a free soul, is never affected by things that are happening around them. Right? And Nelson Mandela once pointed out that I felt the most freedom when I was in jail. Wow. When, you know, they said this Nelson Mandela was a terrorist because he was fighting for the freedom of South Africans. He wanted to end the era of apartheid. And they put him in jail for many, many years. And when he came out, he said, I was so free inside the jail, I have lost all my freedom when I came out of jail. Right? So you see, freedom is actually psychological. Yes. Nelson Mandela's experience?
Oh, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. Is that what you wanted me to explain?
Well, why did he feel more free?
From whatever little I know about him and, you know, whatever he has written down that I've studied, he said that inside the jail, he was reading, reflecting, writing. He had no idea when he would be released. So he made peace with the fact that he will probably die in jail. Right? Once you've made peace with that fact, then he turned to his spiritual side. And that's where he found freedom. There was another national activist called Aurobindo Ghosh. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada talks about him. At one point, he was such an expert shooter, he could shoot with both hands. And then the British people caught him and put him in jail. And the first night in jail, he wrote this in his diary. He had a realization. On Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he said, for the first time in my life, when I surrendered, I felt that Vasudev is protecting me in the form of those jail bars. Vasudev is giving me comfort in the form of the stone bed I'm sleeping on. The food the jailers are giving me is the grace of Vasudev. The jailers themselves are Vasudev protecting me. What else is there in this world that is not happening by Krishna's desire? And in that moment, Aurobindo said, I experienced freedom. So Nelson Mandela had a very similar realization. Inside the jail, he experienced freedom. Right? And to come back to today's topic, Sri Krishna points out that at the end of the day, we don't have any control over how much money we will gain or lose. We can try. The forces of nature can help us or hinder. We do not have any control over who will love us or who will not love us. There is very little we can actually control. Right now, as we are sitting and, you know, processing these ideas, there are millions of bacteria in our gut that is coming into existence and going out of existence. We're not controlling that. There is very little we actually control. Right? The moment we try to control things, then we lose peace. When things do not turn out the way we expect them to turn out, we lose happiness. That is the root cause of losing our freedom. And Sri Krishna points out, if you can just look around nature, nature is teaching you something. If you focus on those teachings and you try to apply it in your life, you will see you will be free. Right? So I'll stop here. We have another 7 minutes for comments, realizations, questions and answers. Yes. Is there a second microphone that we could pass around? Thank you. And thank you for patiently sitting till the end of the discussion today.
Yeah, back to Nelson Mandela. So if he found freedom by getting into his spiritual self, why was it that he felt unfree when he got out of jail if he had...
Because he lost his privacy, people were always following him, they were... You know, like Prabhupada points out that after Gandhi became famous, Gandhi could not sleep. Everybody was chanting, you know, long live Mahatma Gandhi in through the middle of the night. You know, he lost his freedom.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Are you Manan?
Yes.
One second.
So for one who is free like this Avadhuta, what is his motivation to act?
What is his motivation to act? It's very simple, compassion towards others. If you go back to what the Avadhuta says, all his efforts are for service to others and to make the welfare of others the sole reason for his existence. To wake people up, that's the job of an Avadhuta. If you know what a sleepover is? Sleepover, when lots of kids come together, they have a party and then... So, you know, out of everybody who sleeps, there are some who are morning people and some who are evening people. You know, and then morning people wake up earlier than the others. So think about it. Those who are awake know exactly who is awake and who is asleep. Those who are asleep have no clue. Those who are free know exactly who is free and who is not free. Those who are not free don't know. So the job of the Avadhuta is to free others. Nityananda Prabhu, he is Avadhut. What's his job? Nodiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. You know the song? Let's sing this. Nodiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Tatiyache namahatta jivero karan Shraddhavana janahe Shraddhavana janahe Prabhuraya agaye bhai magiye bhikha. Right? Balo Krishna bhajo Krishna karo Krishna shikha. That's the job of an Avadhut. Was I able to answer your question? Any other questions, comments, thoughts, realizations? Yes, Prabhu.
in a nutshell, what is the message that frees others?
What is the message that frees others? In a nutshell. You know, sometimes people, little kids fight over toys. And so they're fighting because they are not free. But the moment they get something better than what their toy is giving them, then they become free. And for that, it requires the grace of someone who is bigger than them, who can see beyond the petty fight. You know, children fight. Right? And so, I think real freedom is in letting go. At the end of the day, when we will exit this planet, the day will come. We just have to let go. And the more difficult we make it, the more difficulty we will face. But when we are convinced that we are going to get something higher, then we will let go, you're free. And how, if we are not able to let go, then what do we do? Sri Krishna says, and this is something I received from one of my professors, he was a great Vaishnava Acharya from the Sri Vaishnava tradition. He says, you know how to be free? He said, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktaya Prayachati. And here is, and I'll finish with this. In Sanskrit literature, when you fold your hands, let's fold our hands. Look at the shape of your hands. Is it like a leaf? So to say that I have tried my best, I have nothing else to do, nothing else to give, nothing else to take, I give myself to you. That's patram. When you search deep within your own heart, and in Sanskrit it's called rit pushpam, the heart is called a flower. So you offer patram, the leaf of your folded hands, the flower of your heart, pushpam, phalam, the fruits of your labor. Each one of us from morning to night are doing something. If you are doing that for Krishna, that's phalam. But the most important thing, toyam. You know what is toyam? Toyam? Huh? Toyam, your tears. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. One who gives the patram of surrender, the pushpam of their heart, the phalam of all their activities and the toyam of their tears with love, Krishna will free you. Krishna will free you. Right? Was I able to answer your question for you? Thank you. Oh, you have one more question? Yes? Kashishwar Prabhu, you want? Oh, you want the microphone.
In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada states that he calls it the regulative principles of freedom. It seems that freedom doesn't mean to be completely frivolous and, you know, unregulated and everything. So that means though that person who is free, one has some kind of principles behind it.
Absolutely.
So if you say that freedom comes from Krishna, how would you elaborate on this point, explaining why Krishna is free and what is behind his freedom?
Krishna?
Yes.
He is free because he is the ultimate free, he is Swarat. Bhagavata, the first verse says, right? Abhigya Swarat. He is the fully cognizant person and he is fully independent. And Krishna, you know, the first argument for why Krishna is free is because it's his constitutional position. Freedom can be in Sattvagun, Tamagun, Rajagun. When freedom is in Tamagun, you have Friday night ambulances near University of Florida. Right. When freedom is in Rajagun, right? You have family quarrels. Somebody wants more freedom that the family member will not provide you. It's in Rajagun. But when you say Manasho Deho Geho Jo Kichu More Orpilu Tua Pade Nando Kishore, my mind, my body, my home, whatever I have, I put it at your feet, I resign. Shampade Bipade Jivone Morone Dai Momo Gela, your burden on your shoulders is gone. You are free, whether you have a lot of wealth or you have zero wealth. Tua opado borone. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Marobi Rakhobi Jo Ichha Tohar. Whether you want to keep me or you want to kill me, that is your choice. I'm not going to bother with your decisions. But Nitya Dashapati Tuai Odhikar, you have the full right to do whatever you want. And here is how ultimate freedom comes. If you think about it, sometimes you have to sacrifice peace for freedom. Right? If you make peace, then, you know, if you want freedom, you have to work for it. Once you have freedom, you have to keep it. You have to work for it, work for that too. Right? And what is the ultimate way of getting that freedom? What is that ultimate work? Is to let go. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraj. Arjun, just give it to me. I got it. So letting go and then, you know, picking your battles is the path to freedom. And in that, if you think about it, Arjuna says, I want to take sannyas. Krishna says, not this way, but then Krishna says, sannyas astu mahabaho. Arjuna, you should take sannyas in this way. And Arjuna says, karishya vachanam tava. Arjuna accepts it. Right? In a sense, Arjuna never gets a danda and he doesn't go off as a wandering sage. But he becomes a sannyasi on the battlefield. He is an avadhut sannyasi, like Nityananda Prabhu. So avadhut means, now Arjuna is not, you know, he's shooting arrows. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Babaji Vesh, the Vesh of a renunciant, and then he went and lived with his family. That's avadhuta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went and took sannyas in front of his Gurudev's picture. That's avadhut. That's the only way to explain it. How else do you say? Right. So real freedom means, Krishna, I am yours. Rest are details. And so unless you give up that little freedom to Krishna, the rest of the freedom will not come. If you look at a hard drive, any hard drive in a computer, a small aspect of that memory is reserved for the system process. That leaves open space. If you have 500 GB, 50 GB will be gone for something else. You'll only get 450 GB. Freedom is like that. 50 GB will go to Krishna. Then the rest of the place is free. If you don't give that freedom to Krishna, the process won't work. Unless there are some viruses, of course. Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure being here. And I hope you find your path to freedom someday. And I hope I do it too. Thank you.